Okay, so before going on to Bhagavatam class, we wanted to speak a little bit about Lochan Das Thakur, whose either appearance or disappearance day it is today. Disappearance. So Lochan Das Thakur is renowned as one of the primary biographers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he composed the book called the Chaitanya Mangal. It means the auspicious Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So Lochan Das Thakur took his information from Morari Gupta's diary, Karacha, and he was able to relate many of the early pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that are not related either in the Chaitanya Bhagavat or in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, such as the pastime of when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he was saying goodbye to his wife. It's a very touching pastime, and we're not going to read it right now. So, one of Srila Prabhupada's favorite poems was written by Lochan Das Thakur, and I'd just like to read this poem in glorification of Lochan Das Thakur. And when Srila Prabhupada heard this song, or played this song, sometimes he would go into ecstasy. There's two instances that I know of. One instance was when Srila Prabhupada was visiting the Atlanta Temple, that's in the United States. Another instance was when Prabhupada was visiting the Caracas, Venezuela Temple. And in both cases, they had installed Gornatai deities. And when Prabhupada looked at the deities and chanted this particular song, Paramakarana Bahudvijanam Nitai Gorchan, Prabhupada just like lost external consciousness. This is an incidence of what we call, or what the acharyas call, is vyabhachari bhava. That is uncontrolled, intermittent ecstasy that the pure devotees experience. There's 33 types of vyabhachari bhava, and some of them are like being dead practically. And Srila Prabhupada exhibited this particular symptom, and the devotees were just wondering what to do. And in a few minutes after that, the devotees started chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada came back to external consciousness. And later the devotees asked Prabhupada, what should we do when you go into trance like that? And Prabhupada replied in a very humble way, oh, like, please excuse me, I don't do this very often. So Prabhupada definitely was holding back his ecstatic feelings, because had we seen too many ecstatic feelings, we would have imitated those ecstatic feelings, and it would have been a disaster for the Krishna consciousness movement. But we can understand that when the pure devotee goes into trance, it's not unconsciousness. You know, sometimes people have this conception of meditation or trance, and they think you just like lose consciousness, think of nothing, and that's trance. But trance actually means to enter into the Lord's pastimes in the spiritual world, to actually be present with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and sometimes great devotees like Srinivasacharya, when they went into trance, they would bring back things from the spiritual world. That's pretty good, isn't it? Like a garland or the scent of something in the spiritual world. And sometimes these pure devotees, when they went into trance, they would go into trance with their disciples. That's Srinivasacharya and Ramchandra Kaviraj. And they would go into the same trance together. So they would do things in the pastimes together. Pretty good. That's the advantage of being a first-class disciple. That you can enter into the same pastimes as your spiritual master, even while you're in this world. That's called Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means liberated even while one is in this material world. So, anyway, so here's the poem written by Lochan Das Thakur. It's a very beautiful poem. And sometimes Prabhupada would sing it, sometimes I sing this song too. It goes as follows. We're just going to read the Bengali, and then after that, read Prabhupada's translation and purport. Paramakarana bhutvijanam nitai gorachand sabhavatar sarashiromani Kevalananda Khand, Baja Baja Bhai, Chaitanya Nitai, Sudhrida Vishwasva Kori, Vishyacharya Se Rasa Majiya, Mukha Bolo Hari Hari. I think most of you can understand what he's saying, right? Mukha, in the mouth, Bolo, Hari Hari, chant Hare Krishna. Deko Ore Bhai, Tri Bhuvane Nai, Amona Doyala Dat, Pashupaki Jure Pashanev Ore, Shuniyar Gunagat, Samsare Majia Rahile Parya, Se Pare Nahilo Ash, Apana Karoma Bunjaye Shavana, Koho He Lochandas. And this is Prabhupada's translation and purport combined. This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Lochan Das declares that the two lords, Nittai, Gaurachandra, Lord Nittai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful. For they introduce chanting and dancing. There are many incarnations, like Lord Ram and even Krishna, who taught Bhagavad Gita, which requires understanding and knowledge. But Lord Chaitanya introduced a process which is simply joyful, simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, my dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. But what is the process? If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, it's a little requirement. One has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. Pretty easy, isn't it? If one gives up sense gratification, that's the only restriction. It is sure that he will reach the desired goal. One simply has to chant Hari Hari without any motivation of sense gratification. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, you just try and examine this within the three worlds. There is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda because their merciful qualities are so great that they can make even birds and beasts cry. What to speak of human beings? Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jatakanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, my dear mind, you are entrapped in the sense gratification process, and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement. Lochan Das Thakur Ki Jai. This is very powerful, isn't it? Very powerful words. And of course, made even sweeter by Srila Prabhupada's words. As we know, the pure devotee is like a parrot. And the example given in the Bhagavatam is like a parrot touches some fruit and the fruit becomes riper. Just pecks on it, doesn't actually hurt the fruit. And the fruit gets riper, like a mango or something like that. So when a pure devotee touches something, what is already nectarian becomes more nectarian by the pure devotee's speech in the pure devotee's interpretation. Okay, so now we go on to Srimad Bhagavatam. We're reading from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is prose again. I'll just read it quickly. Saheva Bhagavan Nananto Nanta Gunanava Harideva Upasamritamasha Roshavego Lokanam Swastaya Aste. So you can repeat. Saha that. Eva. Certainly. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anantaha, Anantadeva. Anantaguna, Anantaguna Arnabaha. The reservoir of unlimited transcendental qualities. Adidevaha, the original Lord, or non-different from the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upasamrita, who has restrained Amarsha, of his intolerance. Rosha, and wrath. Wrath is anger. Vegaha, the force. Lokanam, of all people and all planets. Swastihe, for the welfare. Aste, remains. So translation, Lord Sankarshan is the ocean of unlimited spiritual qualities, and thus he is known as Anantadeva. He is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the welfare of all living entities within this material world. He resides in his abode, restraining his anger and intolerance. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantadeva's main mission is to dissolve this material creation, but he checks his anger and intolerance. This material world is created to give the conditioned souls another chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But most of them do not take advantage of this facility. After the creation, they again exercise their old propensity for lording it over the material world. These activities of the conditioned souls anger Anantadeva, and he desires to destroy the entire material world. Yet because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is kind toward us and checks his anger and intolerance. Only at certain times does he express his anger and destroy the material worlds, okay? So, Om Ganati Vidanda Shah Gananjana Shlokaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasma Ishi Gurave Namaha. So, the living entities at the time of the dissolution of the material world, they enter into the Lord, into Mahavishnu, and remain in a dormant state, and then again at the time of the creation, they come out again, and the Lord, in their hearts, reminds them of their previous desires, and they again try to execute their activities under their material desires. And this can go on for many, many many, many lifetimes of different Lord Brahmas and many, many different universes. And going for a long time. So the Lord, being a person, as described here, can get a little impatient. Just like yesterday, I was instructing someone how to count on their fingers. Not you, someone else. She learned right away. Anyway, so I was instructing someone to count on the fingers. Up to 10 on the fingers, like Brahmins do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Anyway, and so there's 1, 2. Anyway, so, and every time instructed going the other direction. So I had to check my intolerance. Anyway, because the living entity is given so much instruction with the Vedic literatures and everything like that for many lifetimes, and still he persists in something called Punak Purnas Char Vitachar Vananam. According to the Bhagavatam, that means chewing the chewed. And as the typical example goes that we always use, it's like having bubble gum or chewing gum. There's no more sugar in it, and you keep chewing it. It's pretty useless. So, Matirana Krishna Paratos Vatova Mito Pitpadyeta Graha Vritanamadanta Gopir Vishitam Tamishram Punak Punas Char Vitachar Vananam. So that verse states that if someone doesn't want Krishna, Matir Nakrishna Paratos Vatova, they can have good instruction, good association, everything, all benefit, and then because they've taken a vow just to enjoy their body and the things associated with their body, graha vratanam, dantago pir, and they have uncontrolled senses, vishatam tamishram. They enter into ignorance, and then punak punaschar vitachar vratanam, they keep doing the same thing, which the great Acharya Albert Einstein described as insanity. He said, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. Isn't it? Like, of course, I guess he was talking about scientific experiments. You keep doing the same experiment and you expect a different result. Ain't gonna happen. You keep trying to enjoy the material world and expect it to be happy, it ain't gonna happen. Just like you can be like our friend Henry VIII. You heard of him before? No? No one's heard of Henry VIII before. All right. He's a famous king in England, not here in Slovenia. And he's renowned, he's very famous for having a lot of different wives, right? And in England, at that time, it was under the Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church at that time, and I still think they do, they prohibit divorce. So he tried out one wife, and it got a little stale after a while. Punak Purnas Javita Jadanam. And then it didn't work, and he's thinking, I gotta get rid of this one wife, but I can't get a divorce. What should I do? And he thought, well, I'm the king. Kill her. So he killed his wife. That's a good way to end a marriage. You don't have to pay alimony or child support or anything. It's pretty clean. I'm not recommending it. So, and then what happened is, after a while he figured out, better not to kill the ladies. Some objection? You can turn that off, whatever it is. After a while, he figured out it's better not to kill a lady, so let me make my own church that allows divorce. And that's the beginning of the Church of England, the Anglican Church. Did you know that? Yeah, he wrote his own Bible, too. His own version of the Bible. Pretty good. So that's practical. If you happen to be a king, you can invent your own religion. Or branch of religion. And that church is still existing today. And of course, they're very nice people in the church. They're very religious. They're not doing the same thing as Henry VIII. So the point is that, as the song goes, about the material world. What is it? Can't get no satisfaction. No one's heard that song before? Anyway. Anyway, don't sing it for me. So that's the nature of the material world. And so Lord Anandadev naturally becomes a little impatient after a while. And he wants to just like scorch everybody. And eventually he gets an opportunity to do it. So how do we deal with that impatience? You know, because sometimes we try to give people good instructions. It actually says, Upadesho himurkanam prakopayana shantaye. That if you give someone who is foolish good instructions, what happens? It just makes them angry. So, you know, sometimes we try and we try and we try, and we have to remain patient because we can't start scorching everybody to ashes. Can't start killing disciples. So, it wouldn't be so productive. Then we'd have to do a prison ministry preaching program if we did that. So how do you deal with that impatience or the anger that may arise through impatience? Or how do you deal with any of these other anarthas? And then you just look at Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada was so patient with the devotees. I mean, I was just hearing the story this morning, because every morning I listen to either Prabhupada or Memories of Prabhupada, some philosophical class. So Swami Shunda Prabhu was telling the story about his early encounters with Srila Prabhupada. And what happened is, I mean, the devotees were wild in the beginning days. I mean, you're all just so sane here. So one devotee, his wife, Malati, had gone into this import store and stolen, anyway, taken, this little figure she found in it, and it happened to be Lord Jagannath, and brought this little figure to Prabhupada, saying, "What is this, Swamiji? Is this something you know?" Prabhupada immediately bowed down and said, "Wow, Lord Jagannath has come." So, and then he called for Shamsundar, her husband, and he said, "You're a carpenter. Can you carve Lord Jagannath?" And Shamsundar said yes. So he actually went to where boats were being torn apart and took the wood. Not even new wood. I mean, in Jagannath Puri, they have to go and find special trees when they're carving the Jagannath deities. And also the cart. Every year it's a new cart. And every few years, they carve new deities there. So it has to be special trees, and some Brahmin has to look a certain way, has to be in a certain situation, you know, very special. But Shyama Shunder, I mean, just see how patient Prabhupada was, and tolerant. So Shyama Shunder went to this place where they had these barges, these old boats that used to carry cargo. And they tore them apart, and there were big logs there. So he brought these big logs to his apartment, and he began to carve Lord Jagannath. So he was chipping away, carving Lord Jagannath, and Prabhupada would check on him, call him on the phone, you know, how's the carving going? And one day, Prabhupada came to check out, to see how the carving was going. So he went to his apartment, he was carving on the roof of his apartment, and Prabhupada, he saw Prabhupada looking in the window. It's kind of nice having Prabhupada visit your home. So Prabhupada was looking in the window, and then he let Prabhupada in, and Prabhupada said, "How's the carving going?" And Prabhupada saw on the floor there was a pack of cigarettes. And this, Swami Shunder was initiated, taking vows of initiation. But Prabhupada, you know, knowing how attached everybody was, he didn't mention cigarettes at that particular point. In fact, sometimes after the morning program, Bhagavatam class, all the devotees go out. Not all the devotees. Some of the devotees go out for a smoke. Can you imagine, like, if that happened here? You know, I walked out after Bhagavatam class, time for prasadam, and there's the ladies smoking, and the men smoke. And I'm sure it wasn't always cigarettes. Anyway, so Prabhupada saw this pack of cigarettes, and then he kicked it across the room. He says, "No more." And then even saw like one cigarette or a pack on top of Lord Jagannath. Yeah, an ashtray or something on top of the deity that he was carving. Can you imagine that? You know, here's Prabhupada, you know. Prabhupada, you know, high class, never smoked, never ate meat. Even when the doctor tried to give him a little chicken soup, he rejected it as a kid. Never did anything sinful, never knew any sinful life. Prabhupada said he had so many opportunities because he went to a college, a Scottish college. And there is this Malatya, you know, who's a great devotee now, but anyway, he's a Malatya. He had cigarettes on top of the Lord. Can you imagine that? If you went into, you know, came and take darshan of Panchatadwara or Shishi Gornatai and then right at their feet or in one of their hands there was a cigarette. That's the sort of scenario that Prabhupada was confronting. Yet Prabhupada just didn't get angry. Of course, he did say, "Don't do it again." Yeah, don't put cigarettes on Lord Jagannath. So, anyway, there's so many instances of Prabhupada's toleration and not getting angry. I mean, Prabhupada, when he got angry, was for a purpose, to instruct the devotees. But certainly, there must have been some inclination like, "Oh my God, this stupid Malatya, what is he doing?" You know. But Prabhupada tolerated. And it's, so how or why did Prabhupada tolerate it? Let's talk about that. And we'll also talk about how we can tolerate. So Prabhupada tolerated it due to his immense compassion. When you have love for someone, then you will always act in a way that's best for them. I mean, sometimes you will chastise them, you know, because that's what's required. But sometimes you'll just tolerate, just like a mother with a child. Like the mother loves the child, and she's tolerating so many things that are incredible, like changing diapers. Like if I ask any of you, some of you are fathers, whatever. But if I ask any of you to change diapers, I'm like, you know what diapers are? Those are the things that kids wear that they don't know enough to go to the bathroom. Anyway, and it's just like, oh my God. Yuck. I mean, practically, if I had to do that, I'd probably get so sick I wouldn't eat for a week. But there was love. And then, you know, that's how much Prabhupada loved us, that he was able to tolerate this most horrible thing. So that's one reason. And let's tell a story about Lord Chaitanya that illustrates the same point. Once upon a time, Sanatan Goswami went to Jagannath Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on the way to Jagannath Puri, he was passing through the forest, Jarakanda Forest, and he had to drink water that, I guess, was contaminated, had bugs in it. You know, bugs means, you know, bacteria. And he ended up with sores all over his body with pus. Everybody knows what pus is? You know, sores. So he gets to Jagannath Puri. And he doesn't want to go close to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he has these sores and they're kind of smelly and everything like that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forcibly embraces him, and the pus from these sores actually goes over Lord Chaitanya's body. It's a story of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So anyway, so the pus from the sores goes over Lord Chaitanya's body, and Sanatana Goswami is thinking, I am come here, and I can't go into the temple of Lord Jagannath because he had previously been under the employment of the Nawab Hussein Shah. That meant he had lost his caste. They wouldn't let him in the temple. And he didn't go in anyway because he had sores. And he said, and I'm committing offenses by allowing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to embrace me. So better I just go under the cart of Lord Jagannath during the next Ratha Yatra and, you know, just kill myself. And Lord Chaitanya knew what he was thinking, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that if I thought I could become Krishna conscious by committing suicide, I'd be prepared to give up my body many, many, many times, like millions of times. So he forbade Sanatan Goswami from committing suicide. So anyway, so this went on, and then Sanatan Goswami was thinking, I gotta get out of here, because I'm committing too many offenses. Better, he talked to another devotee, Jagannanda Pandit, and asked him, what should I do? And Jagannanda Pandit said, you better go to Vrindavan as soon as possible. And this way you'll get out of here. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this advice, he got angry at Jagannanda Pandit. He said, you are meant to do so many activities of preaching for me. You're very dear to me. And Jagannanda Pandit is just a new devotee. So eventually Lord Chaitanya gave him a test. He had him come to see him when it was very hot, like 50 degrees centigrade out. And he said, please come and see me. And Lord Chaitanya was on the other side of the temple, and there were only two ways to get to see Lord Chaitanya. One way was directly passing by the main gate of the temple, and the other way was going on the beach. The beach was very hot. It would actually burn one's feet at that particular point. But Sanatan Goswami took the path on the beach because he didn't want to contaminate the pujaris who were coming in and out of the temple, the main gate of the temple. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with that. And shortly after that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, and Sanatan Goswami was still very upset. And Lord Chaitanya said, look, there's no problem with me embracing you, because he gave several reasons. One is, he says, because I'm a sannyasi. And sannyasis are supposed to be, what, samadarshis? Equal poise. Just like we were talking yesterday about brahminical propensities, tendencies. Samadama, tabaksha, shanti rajamavacha. Anyway, equal poise, tolerant, religious, etc. So, and he said, if I thought that something was nice and something was bad in this world, I wouldn't be qualified as a sannyasi. That is true. Sannyasi has to be equal in happiness and distress, ugliness. He can't only preach to people who look good. He can preach to ugly people too. So, not only preach to rich people, you can preach to poor people. Anyway, sannyasi you can't distinguish. So, Sanatan Goswami, when he heard this, he said, this is simply external. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually revealed to Sanatan Goswami that actually, that you, Sanatan Goswami, I have this affectionate relationship. You're like my child, you know. So there's the love, there's the compassion. And so when there's love and compassion, then one can overcome also the dualities of this material world, not get angry, not get disturbed. And then he proceeded to embrace Sanatana Goswami. And of course, it is also mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when he did embrace Sanatana Goswami, the smell even of Sanatana Goswami's sores were like chatushima, which means like a very nice smell. It was like, because he had a spiritual body, this is a pastime. So the next time Lord Chaitanya embraced him, all the sores disappeared. And Sanatana Goswami's body became whole again. So the reason I'm telling that story is it illustrates the fact that when one has compassion and love, one is able to tolerate. So what do we do about our situation? Because at the present time, we may not have so much compassion and love. We may feel like destroying the whole universe sometimes. Or at least, why isn't this devotee learn this? Ah! Like that. Why doesn't he learn how to play the mridanga properly? Why doesn't he learn how to keep the tune? Why doesn't he learn whatever? As I said, we may not have that compassion and love at this particular point. So how do we control, you know, Vacho Vega, Manasa Krodha Vega? That's a question. Without having that compassion and love, because that's a very high platform. And one method, perhaps the most important method, is to have at least love for Krishna, and especially for our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And what does it mean? I was thinking about this morning. Like, what does it mean to have love for me, it's for Srila Prabhupada. You know, what does it mean? You know, why is the love there? Is it because, I mean, you hear it sometimes, devotees telling all these different stories about mystical things Prabhupada did, isn't it? You know, that Prabhupada seemed to read my mind. You know, hear all these stories. And, you know, who knows if they're true or not? You know, because, and that's not really love. You know, you love someone because, wow, they can, like Sai Baba, you know, he can make a Shiva Linga come out of his mouth. Of course, nobody says that he swallowed it like 10 minutes before. And even there's even one famous yogi nowadays. We're not going to mention his name because it would pollute the whole atmosphere. Who copies him and has a sheath? He actually comes here to this country too. Anyway, and he makes a Shiva Linga come out of his mouth. Wow, so many followers. Wow, he's a magician like Houdini. You ever heard of the name Houdini? No. Famous musician. Magician, not musician. Magician. They even put him in the water in a box and he escaped from it. Wow. But he couldn't escape from death. So, I mean, sometimes we really love someone because, you know, they do something amazing, right? Like you had so many people in the 1960s who loved the Beatles, 70s, who loved the Beatles. Not because they actually love the Beatles, but because it just, they turned them on. You know, to use a hippie expression, the Beatles turned them on. Does everyone know what that means? They turned me on. Oh, Ringo, George, Paul, you know, And if you see some of the films from the early days of the Beatles, I mean, there's like thousands and thousands of girls just screaming at the top of their lungs. I mean, I wish our kirtans were so ecstatic. Anyone seen those films? Yeah, it's just like amazing. And they had to hire guards to protect the Beatles because the girls basically would have torn them apart. That's love. Oh, I got Ringo's leg, you know. It's like one devotee said to me, you know, when my spiritual master passes away, I want to get his lotus foot and keep it in my house. Yeah. Actually happened. Not to me. Don't worry. Anyway, so they decapitate the spiritual master or cut off his foot. So that's not love. That's called, you know, infatuation or, you know, attraction or whatever. Attraction is there. You know, we become attracted to so many things. So I was thinking, you know, where does my love for Prabhupada come from? And, you know, I try to dig deeper into it. It's not because Prabhupada did, you know, like magical tricks. He read, you know, when he looked in my eyes, he saw right into the soul. You hear all these stories like that. Yeah, I mean, maybe he did, but that's not the point. I was thinking because of gratefulness. You know, when someone has done something, so much sacrifice and done everything, given you the greatest gift, a natural response would be gratefulness, right? Someone has struggled, done everything. Like if you ever have parents, like my mother, for example. She's not a devotee yet. She doesn't know yet what she will be a devotee. Anyway, so... But, you know, she struggled when I was young. You know, she worked a job so I could go to university, to school, to summer camp, you know, whatever. And there's some gratefulness there. I mean, it's not the same thing as Prabhupada, but it's still, you know, it was done in illusion. But still, there was a sacrifice. A sacrifice. And so I feel gratefulness. So I have an obligation to my mother. And it's loving. It's not just like a technical obligation that you know, I have to do it because it's my duty, even though I don't want to do it, but, you know, I want to do it. There's that feeling of love. So Srila Prabhupada has done that for all of us. You know, he's given us the greatest gift. You know, and so we have this extreme obligation, and, you know, the love naturally arises from that sense of obligation, thankfulness, gratefulness, and all those other nice things. I was thinking that's one of the main reasons I love Prabhupada. And also for his qualities, you know, there's other reasons too. So based on that, getting back to the point, we can control our anger, our lust, you know, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, tongue, belly, genitals, based on that deep love we have for Prabhupada and our spiritual master. Even though we don't have compassion for all living entities. And then that's a very nice way to control the anarthas, or tolerate, you know, like we say, you know, vacha vegam. Just like this verse, first verse in the Upadeshamrita, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, Anantadeva is actually just tolerating. Because he's, and that's what's described here, I'm not just making that up. It's described here, he's tolerating the anger for the benefit of the living entities, giving them another chance, and eventually, you know, at the end of the creation, he wipes them out. So, and anyway, so that's how we can come to the point of toleration and control of anger while we're still subjected to the pushings of it. So, any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues. You know, feel grateful. This gratefulness is actually a very important quality. Yeah, as someone who is not grateful has no good qualities. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. So anyway, any questions or comments or arguments or problems or issues or... Yes?
What's the connection with Sankarshan, Anantadeva, and Shiva?
Ah, very, very interesting. So, first of all, Sankarshan is also, we spoke about this, is also a name of Lord Balaram. It's, but in this particular context, it refers to the expansion of Lord Balaram, one of the Chaturviwa expansions. Anantashesh, who has unlimited heads, who is always glorifying Krishna, and that's a specific incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, but he is non-different from Krishna, so the connection is he's the same as Krishna, but a specific Krishna in a specific mood, Balaram in a specific mood. So there's you know, Dvaita Chucha Nadi Rananta Rupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabha Madurlabha Matma Bhakto Govindamani Purusham Tamaham Jami. So it's all connected like that. And he's also the original spiritual master, Balaram. Balaram, Hoyla Nitai, Nayamatma, Balahi Naina, Labdwa. So all these things are connected very, very deeply. There's a complete connection. He's Vishnu Tattva. That means not different from Krishna. So, anyway, that's the connection. So, is that right? What's that?
Ananta and Shiva.
Oh, Ananta and Shiva. Yeah, I left out that. So, Lord Shiva is manifest from Ananta. There's different... Okay, let's get more technical. There's different manifestations of Lord Shiva. There's the Rudra manifestations, which are manifest from Ananta. The 11 Rudras, we mentioned this the other day in class, and they're married to 11 Rudranis. And also those 11 Rudras sometimes manifest from Lord Brahma. That's another story. And so that's the Rudra manifestation. And then there's another manifestation of Lord Shiva that appears from the Mahavishnu. When Mahavishnu glances at the material creation, because at the time of the dissolution, all of us are inside the Mahavishnu. And the way we become implanted or impregnated in the material, let's say the pradana, the unmanifested stage of the material creation, like putty or clay, is through the glance of the Mahavishnu. So we transmit it through that glance, and it's described that that glance is another manifestation of Lord Shiva known as Shambhu. So there are many, many manifestations that appear from Vishnu. And Lord Shiva is described in the Brahma Samhita like yogurt. It's a metaphor. That yogurt, Krishna is like the milk, and Lord Shiva is like the yogurt. He has a certain amount of qualities, same qualities as Vishnu, but not quite the same, the total, a little less qualities. And he's a special tattva, a special category of person, and he's an eternal devotee of Krishna, Vaishnavanam, Yata Shambhu. The original, let us say, the ontological original source of Lord Shiva is a Vishnu Tattva expansion in the spiritual world known as Sadashiva. And the Sadashiva in this world expands from the Sadashiva in the Vaikuntha Lokas. Little technical here. And that Sadashiva is Advaita Acharya, who's also non-different than Mahavishnu. Anyway, it gets very complicated. It's a little complicated. So that's the relationship. Shiva expands from Vishnu. Let's just say that. And the various manifestations of Lord Shiva expand from different manifestations, or let's say expansions of Lord Vishnu. Does that make sense? Complicated. It's complicated. Anyway, he's a great devotee. He's the best devotee. Why do we say he's the best devotee? Well, not only is he always meditating on Krishna, but he's very compassionate because in his temple, which is different from this temple, his temple he has ghosts and Nilatsputas, witches, goblins. That's a pretty interesting temple. Ananta, would you like to be president of that temple? There's no brahmacharis in that temple. They're all... But they're nice. You set them on Sankirtan, they can ride on brooms. The ladies' Sankirtan party, they just go out in the morning on the brooms and they go out. And then they use voodoo on all the people to take a book. So Lord Shiva's ashram is like that. There's just witches and goblins and ghosts. And he goes around and he tries to find nice homes for them. When people are having an illicit sex life, then he implants some of his followers in the wombs of different ladies. And that's why we have so many nice kids nowadays. Isn't it? It's one of the reasons. That's explained in the Bhagavatam, the story of the pregnancy of Diti. So, any other questions or comments? And Lord Shiva is the Lord of the mode of ignorance, and some of his followers, they smoke ganja, or even hashish. Sometimes I go, I love Lord Shiva because he's a devotee. I go to his temples, I circumambulate, and they offer me Mahaprasadam. I don't accept. I just tell them, I don't want to offend them, so I just tell them it's a Ekadashi. Any other day is all right. Ekadashi, I don't smoke, So that's Lord Shiva. Any other questions or comments or problems? Yes. Yeah, but he never goes to work. Yeah, if you have a wife like Sati, then he's a good husband. But it's described in the Bhagavatam that all of her jewelry came from her father, right? Who was Daksha. And because Lord Shiva never got her any jewelry. So, yes, he is the best of husbands. So, I guess, all you ladies, we could find you husbands that never work. How about that? You like that? No, not practical. So, yes, if you're sati, then he's a good husband. I mean, he's a good husband for anyone, I mean, but I'm not going to, obviously. But most of you are not advanced enough to get married to him. So, why, you want to follow in his footsteps? I mean, maybe you should take off your clothes then. I mean, just... Because he's a pure devotee. And he guides his wife. He initiated his wife in the Ram Mantra. And then Haridas Thakur initiated her in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That, you know, it's a pure devotee. I mean, that's the best of husbands. But most of the ladies don't want pure devotees as husbands. They want someone who'll buy them things. He what? He talked Bhagavatam, yeah. Yeah, she fell asleep. Yeah, that's a funny story. She fell. He was teaching Bhagavatam, and she was falling asleep, and there was this parrot. Yes, this is a story of Shukadev. And then the parrot, he kept saying, just because he didn't know she was sleeping, he kept saying, very nice, very nice, because the parrot was listening. And then when he looked up, Lord Shiva looked up and discovered his wife was sleeping during Bhagavatam class. He got very angry, started chasing the parrot. The parrot took birth as Shukadev Goswami later on. That's a famous story. So, yes, he's a good husband because he allows the wife to sleep during Bhagavatam class. That's just a joke. No, he's fantastic. But... you better be a pure devotee because you may not get any jewelry. He's Ashutosh. He's very easily pleased and very easily angered. So don't be like that either. Okay, on that happy note, you know, preparing people for marriage. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.